MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Sipisihle Zwane, portfolio manager at Allan Gray. Sipisihle, I appreciate the time today. Talking Disney, and as I'm prepping for this interview, I'm thinking to myself, they have some of the strongest sort of entertainment IP of any business. I mean, it goes all the way back to, of course, Mickey Mouse and co, and forward into today, where they still have really strong entertainment IP.
Of course, Simon. Hi to you first. Hi to all your listeners. It's actually amazing how much IP they've been able to create over their 100-year history. But not just created, eh? They've also bought things really well. So some of the things that they have in their portfolio, they own Marvel, things like Star Wars, yeah. They own Avatar as well. So in reality, it's a business that's in the business of creating and purchasing IP or intellectual property, and then monetizing that different formats. And through time, they've monetized that in a very wide range of formats. I mean, from comic books to movies to series, it's actually an incredible business when it comes to creating worlds and characters.
And it's evolving because, you know, over the 100 years, of course, entertainment is different. I mean, the concept remains the same, but the rides are different. Of course, they've also brought on their streaming, Disney Plus. That's been, maybe we could say, struggling, although, I mean, that's a relative term. I mean, they've got a couple of 100 million subscribers there. That is not insignificant either.
Yeah. The difficulty with streaming is that, I mean, we saw it in the COVID times, right? So everyone threw all their resources, all the traditional media houses threw their resources and trying to catch up to Netflix. And the world changed, right? So people view sort of fast-growing, loss-making companies differently to what they were viewing them before. And I think the difference now in the streaming industry is everyone's trying to look at a route to profitability. So everyone's focusing on price increases and increasing ad tiers, so giving people options of having ads in their viewing, and things like reducing content spend or being more clever around content spend, being open to licensing content again, and to move those businesses into profitability. So it's a big change from the sort of subscriber land grab initially. The uniqueness of Disney is in the US, where people have 3 to 4 different streaming platforms, they have unique content, right? So if you're a Star Wars fan, there's nowhere else you're going to get Star Wars. So they call it, it's like their flagship tentpole content. So it's a new world and universe, and you can create a lot of different content around that. And because it's so unique, in a bundle of different streaming platforms, you'd have Netflix plus Disney, you know, for example.
Yeah.
I think that's a big differentiator of their business.
And they've also, and it's been a strategy, and it's probably been a strategy over the 100 years. They really focus on quality. They could put out a lot more around any of their IP products, but for them, it really is around quality and around sort of, you know, the big box office numbers.
There's been a time where people have been a bit worried about the volume of releases. So there used to be a Marvel movie every 6 months at some point. And I guess they all did reasonably well, but started to fall off towards the end. And I guess there's a limit on how much capacity the sort of studio executives have to actually be able to make high quality content. And the focus now has been to return back to quality over quantity. I mean, this year so far, the big movies have done quite well. So I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, but Inside Out 2 is the best performing movie in box office at the moment, the only one to reach $1 billion. And then Planet of the Apes, the new one, also did quite well. I think it's in the top 10 of a box office movie. So it's been a good year for the box office so far. I'm actually looking really forward to watching Inside Out 2. I hear from a lot of friends of mine who are parents that it's both for parents and kids, you know, which is the perfect place that Disney used to play in back in the day.
And that is often what Disney is, and that brings the parks in, because I've never been to a Disney park, but people who I know who have been say you are completely unprepared for that experience. And of course, the pandemic took it out at the knees, but they really have come back and they get huge spend. And it's an institution in the US, and they've got in Japan, they've got in France. These are big business as well on their own.
I've been lucky enough to go to one of them, and it actually literally feels like the happiest place in the world. Like, incredibly excited, jumping up and down, going everywhere. Queues are long, but there's ways around that if you use their platforms to figure out where the queues are long and the waiting times. And these things are like, it's an amazing experience, right? So in a world where people are very happy to spend more on experiences versus material things, these things are like amazing memories that you have. And at 6 p.m. when everyone's waiting for that, there's a walk where all the characters come on and then everyone waits for them on the main road. it's amazing when you see this princesses making eye contact with the kids and you realize that they're going to remember this for the rest of their lives. So it's a business that probably their most efficient or their most tangible way of monetizing these characters that they created. And it is literally a happiness machine for both the parents and adults and kids. So I think it's an incredible business and it's worth a lot.
A happiness machine, I take your point on that. A last question is, they had some CEO issues. Bob Iger is back in the hot seat. He is off in 2026, so 2 years away. What lies ahead? I mean, the succession plan last time didn't go very well and hence they brought him back.
I think it's the difficulty of having iconic CEOs who've like been incredibly influential on the business. And it's a huge business in terms of sort of the touch points it has, right? It operates in China, it operates in the US, operates in Japan. So it's a very difficult seat to fill. One thing that we are a bit more comfortable on now is that I think if you mess up once, you become very nervous and cautious about how you go about it in the future. And they've built a board that has done succession planning in different businesses as well. So you have a guy who did it at Nike, you have the guy who did it at Morgan Stanley. And so these are very strong board members who are thinking about this thing very, very carefully and realize that they messed it up one time, so they can't do it again. But I think it's very big shoes to fill. So you almost don't expect the next guy to do as well straight away. And it takes a while to become, you know, this iconic sort of CEO. But it's a business that's, you know, they've had another big CEO before Bob Iger as well. You know, you do find people and sometimes we associate a business with individuals, but in reality, this is a 100-year-old business that's been creating strong IP through different management teams. You had a big CEO, you had a massive founder who was larger than life in his own time. So they've done well over time. And I think it's, you get it wrong one time, you hope you don't get it wrong again. So yeah, we wait for that eagerly and see how they'll navigate those changes.
That's a great point. We're talking about it. Make no mistake, the board is talking about it a lot more than we are. And as to your point there, they've picked up some experts in that space. We leave it there. Sipisi Lizwane, Portfolio Manager Alan Gray, appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.